This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Thursday, February 16th. We welcome you in to what I think will be a very entertaining show.
Wow. That's a lot of entertainment. One from each of us.
I was going to say, I'm kind of putting you on the spot to be entertaining in that scenario, but I think you're up for the task. You've got a nice polo on today.
Thank you.
Normally,
yeah, that's the key to entertainment, is looking nice.
you know what guy is going to be entertaining?
He's got a polo.
When you see the guy on the horse.
And you've got a polo brand polo.
Well, yeah, it is a polo shirt.
Oh, man.
You're wearing the Coca-Cola of polos.
Right.
Yeah. We have a rookie review on today's show.
They're still around, huh?
What are you wearing, Mike?
T-shirt,
yeah,
and some kind of zip up.
Yeah, how many zip ups do you? I mean, I feel like you are
not enough.
You are a zip up man.
I do not have enough zip ups. Because like, if you're including my hoodies in there, then I have a decent amount.
Yeah, like plus minus 15.
But minus way under that. But the problem is, it's hard to find a good one that zips, because like when it's the hoodie, you feel you're pretty committed to it. If you ever want to remove...
You're talking about the pullover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you ever remove it, you know the tummy is coming out. Maybe the tip of the butt cheeks are coming out. Just like it's an awkward moment for
hair problems.
Didn't you just have we were on a trip, or we were doing some stuff around the Super Bowl. Didn't you have a shirt you wanted to take off, but you didn't think you could get it off, Jason?
Yeah, but it wasn't... Yes. Yes, I did. It was the wrists on this jacket were so tight. And so I'm like, I don't want to struggle. Like, I know I could take it off, obviously, but I know it's going to be a struggle in the process of, like,
right,
putting my arm behind me and getting that, like, force it. So I was like, I'm wearing this jacket today. This ain't coming off.
Can you do the, go to the restroom, go in the stall, do the jacket switch then? Isn't that the...
Oh, you could do that. Yeah.
You ever done that before?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, right, you just good. Do the, you look around. And
I'm clear.
but then sometimes the shirt goes all the way over and you're stuck.
You ever just started the process and then just put it right back on?
I was checking something. Weird. My tag was bothering me.
All right. Well, we've got a rookie review show. Like I said, we're going to break down every rookie that made contributions this year. Any high draft capital NFL rookie at each position, and we're going to talk about what we think their futures are about, how consistent they were this year, and what to expect moving forward. And some positions have more players than others, but we'll get into it all. We do have a really big announcement.
Oh, it's huge.
And I'm excited to share this with the Foot Clan, to the listenership out there, because it's February 16th. This is hardcore season. This is, you're still with us. The Super Bowl's over. You know, you exhaled, and then you began again. You started the next season. So it is a perfect time to announce that we are, in fact...
Oh, there I am.
We are, in fact, hiring...
You want to come work with the footballers?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an on-location, full-time position. You can read the full job description on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com/careers. But we are looking for a industry-leading social media specialist, somebody that has done it for a long time, has digital marketing experience. And so you can, again, you can go see the entire job description on the website.
You are underplaying the reality of this role. We are not. We are looking for you, the one person. A couple years ago,
yeah,
we needed a web guy, and we needed something impossible. We needed someone who was a front end designer, who also could do graphic design, who also had some marketing. We needed someone that didn't exist, and we said he also needed to be named Andy.
Yeah,
and we hired someone named Andy who was perfect. We're looking for perfection. If you're out there listening, you're like, I am a social media expert. I have tons of experience with marketing and these platforms.
Design.
And if you love this show. And you
love fantasy.
I mean, and you want to move out to Arizona and work. There's only one person that exists on this planet that's right for this job. And I hope you're listening, and we need to find you. Please come
apply.
And apply.
Yeah. TheFantasyFootballers.com/careers. That was great, Jason. That is a better summation of what we're looking for. And so, I look forward to reviewing the applicant.
And if you're good at social media and you love it and you love the brand and that's the end of the list, don't apply.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
We are looking for a bit of a jack of all trades.
Superstar,
as Jason said. Five stars.
Yeah, five-star recruit.
Yeah. Mike, you have anything to add?
No, Jason said everything there. I guess if you want to like experience Brooks's wealth
firsthand,
in person, to see how he see what the other side eats,
lifestyles of the rich
and
famous,
how they dress.
He literally drives to work in a yacht that is pulled.
Yes.
He it's pulled by a truck, but he doesn't want to. That's crazy. We're in Arizona. There's no water here.
There's not a lot of room for that.
Sometimes he will jetpack up to his helicopter.
Right.
And then fly home.
Yeah.
So you're looking forward to finding this new person, Brooks?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just somebody else to flaunt in front of?
That's what I'm all about.
money. All right, so again, thefantasyfootballers.com/careers. Excited to find that one person, as Jason said. A couple other updates. The Ultimate Draft Kit pre-order is available now, ultimatedraftkit.com. Lowest possible price. Chance to win a listener league spot. Check that out. Today we have a quick question from Josh. Josh writes in on Twitter, says, with the tight end position being so top-heavy, what are your thoughts on combining it with a wide receiver position, so like a wide receiver-tight end combo?
Right.
In terms of changing the league format.
Yeah, so this is getting rid of the tight end position and just
correct.
Basically assimilating those tight ends. You can play them in that slot. And there's two different ways you could do this. You can either just get rid of the tight end position and allow a tight end to be eligible for your wide receiver slot, or you add an additional slot that is, if you play two wide receivers and a tight end, then you would go and play two wide receivers and a third wide receiver slash tight end spot. If I'm going to do this, if the question is, do we like this? I would certainly go in that direction, adding another roster spot for depth, for difficulty.
I objectively hate it.
I do too. I was leading the argument.
Okay, I didn't know where
in the direction
go.
Where I definitely prefer to have the horrible tight end position.
Yeah, I mean, we make light of it, but this is not the kicker world. This is not a world where you doing research leads to nothing, right? Like, the kicker universe, there's so little I mean, I'm not saying that there's not a strategy in playing a kicker. I know, Kyle, you would get really emotional and maybe walk off set.
And Jason would, too, well, just
because sure. of Boom
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, I mean, kickers are, you know, kicker analysis is the most important thing. I think the issue we have with kickers is that you actually don't do the analysis. Like, yeah, sure. Right. So, you might look up and be like, oh, who's got a higher over-under? That's the end of the analysis. We talk about tight ends. We have a whole tight end show. We spend draft season, not we as in the footballers, we as in fantasy football players, thinking about tight ends. Who do I like? Who's going to break out? There's a lot of love that goes into trying to get it right.
And there are players that break out. It's exciting to make those correct calls and be on the front end of it. I mean, it's kind of the same argument. Like, I wouldn't make a league that just has six positions and every position's eligible in each one, right? You could do that too. Combine your running backs and your wide receivers. Put your quarterbacks in there. Like, the point of fantasy is making decisions across positional lines. And it's also a challenge. Like, if you're going to do that, and I'm not saying you can't. If that's what you want to do, do it. If that's what your league wants. But you are going to not be on common ground with the kind of consensus of rankings. Like, we don't put out rankings of... we have our flex rankings, but we don't really analyze every single week and give you advice on do you start, you know, Garrett Wilson or Travis Kelce this week in your tight end wide receiver flex.
I like the part of the draft where you have to make your decisions on how do I build my team. Like, do I just go after whoever the number one guy is at the time? It's been Travis Kelce for quite some time, but you had the Rob Gronkowski years, you had the Jimmy Graham years. Like, am I willing to sacrifice at the top of the draft because I think I can find some running backs or wide receivers later on in the draft? I believe in my research there. Or you're in the middle rounds, like, I believe, you know, that Mark Andrews is going to have the breakout this year, or finding the sleeper at the end. I think it's fun, and it's fun and easy to make fun of the tight end position for fantasy because we all get burned by it so frequently. But I do like the element of strategy. So personally, I don't want it to be totally removed.
Yeah, I think the most important draft aspect when you're playing fantasy football is roster construction. It's not did you pick the right guy, because there's so many players in every round, 12 in every round if you've got 12 teams in your league. But you know, it's a matter of how do you want to build. Do you want to go tight end early? Do you want to go tight end late? Those things are fun and probably more important than just who you pick.
Yeah, and you face that with quarterbacks too, obviously. When you know, the onesie positions, when do you go in on a quarterback?
Exactly.
When do you wait? It's a strategic boost, I think. What we have done it was probably about 5 years ago now, but we did add an extra flex spot in one of our leagues just to add a little bit more decision-making, depth, those decisions to be a little bit more difficult. And I liked it. I think I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, and the flex spot having the tight end eligibility, that's great. You know, it shouldn't just be running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't take away the tight end necessity.
We'll not be hitting the news drop today, but I do have one piece of news. The Cardinals have finally hired a head coach. The Eagles defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon.
And the opinions of this are kind of all over the place. It seems like most of our friends from the Philadelphia area are laughing, saying, ha ha ha, good, take him away from our team. They are very, very angry with Mr. Gannon, the defensive coordinator who oversaw the elite defense that, in fact, brought them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, a bit short-sighted.
You didn't win the game. Totally understand that watching the game and the defense that you had, that you, like, how did we not get a single quarterback sack against that offensive line? Those are, I think that's a fair conversation to have. But your team was elite throughout the year. What was the stat, Andy, about how many sacks season?
I think they broke the single season sack record. They had 70.
I mean, they were a tremendous defense. Now, we'll find out, is that at the hands of Sirianni and company? Is it just the personnel? And you'll get to see if Gannon could do anything on his own. But, okay.
I don't think we're thrilled out here either. First-time head coach in Arizona. Our championship Super Bowl odds are the same as the Houston Texans right now.
Oh, baby. plus 20,000.
That sounds like you got to at least just put a $5 on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, No,
I'm not.
I don't want to burn $5.
If there's one thing we learned in Super Bowl week, and I, you know, we talked to people from all over the country, everyone had the same question about Kyler. It's like, it was, is he a good quarterback? Is he not? Do you have a quarterback? That's the question.
I do think he's a good quarterback.
That'll define Jonathan Gannon's entire tenure.
Yeah. Obviously, for the purposes of fantasy football and Kyler Murray, we are still currently waiting to see who he's going to bring in as the offensive coordinator. I know there were rumors of the quarterback's coach from the Cleveland Browns. I did have this question pop up in my mind. Would it be insulting for Jonathan Gannon, head coach, to offer Eric Bieniemy the offensive coordinator under him after Bieniemy just destroyed his defense right. in the Super Bowl? Like, you won. You want to come work underneath me? That just seems like, that seems backwards.
Yeah, he won't come here because there are better situations for Eric Bieniemy, and he's being interviewed by Ron Rivera, I think, as this podcast is being recorded. So there's, as is Greg Roman. The Commanders interviewed him as well. Shane Steichen?
Yeah.
Also hired by the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know if we had talked about it.
I think maybe, dude.
I think it was
maybe.
On the cusp, know. Not official, but he's their head coach, and the Eagles lose their OC in D.C.
I listened to a beat reporter from Philadelphia this morning talking up Gannon, and then the question was asked, if you were starting a franchise, would you rather hire for your head coach Gannon or Steichen? And he was like, oh, definitely Steichen.
Ah, man. I was thinking you were going to break some really impressive news
man.
For him.
I did, for the Colts fans.
All right, into the rookies we go.
Rookie review.
I really enjoyed, for those watching on YouTube, I enjoyed that graphic. That was a very nice graphic.
That's a nice thing for you to say about Brian's work.
Yeah. I just compared to the truth graphics.
What the guy
maybe
in the
it's
wig?
Just the contrast. All right, looking at the general overview here of the rookie class, starting at the quarterback position, kind of breaking down which players were helpful to fantasy managers, which ones had a little bit of impact, and we can talk about their futures, and then these players that ended up in the not relevant category, which there were some that I think we believed would be relevant. Spoiler alert, Sky Moore. And weren't. So it'll be an interesting conversation. There's not a lot of conversation to have at the quarterback position. Mm-mm. But let's begin with the okay, some fantasy impact category. Because there was nobody in the regular contributor category for rookies in year one.
Not surprising.
No, not surprising. But Brock Purdy was the one quarterback who, you know, took over in week 14. Had a couple of impressive games where if you started him in fantasy, you would have been happy, especially week 18 if for some reason you were playing then, but a couple of top 10 weeks. George Kittle's on record saying our offense operated at its highest since 2019 with Brock Purdy at quarterback and said, I think it's his job to lose.
That's crazy for a player to come out and say that. It says a lot, and that will be impressive to me if Brock Purdy does retain that role over Trey Lance coming into this year off of the elbow surgery.
Does it say anything to you about Lance by not saying anything about Lance? Like, was there a lack of an impact made from a leadership perspective in the first 2 years?
No, I think the fact that he missed with injury, it's not like he was at practice throwing the ball around, running the other team, and they just weren't impressed. This was no opportunity to see Lance. So I don't see this as a slight on Lance.
But that was only this year, right? And Lance was there last year?
Right.
So, like, has he made no impact on this?
Well,
that's what I was asking. It's like over 2 years, is there not a – there's no loyalty to Lance, I guess.
Well, nothing has been built up, and the statement of Kittle saying about the offense, I mean, what were they averaging over that time? Like, something like 35 points or so? I mean, they were in the 30s every week except for Seattle, and they hit 21. And otherwise, they're in the high 30s. I mean, you can't argue with that. Like, the team was putting up a huge amount of points. It didn't really turn into really, really delicious fantasy action. But, I mean, he averaged two touchdowns a week, just wasn't giving you huge yardage or anything.
He really never. He almost never busted once he was a starter. But
sure.
His ceiling is not very high. His floor is decently high. To me, this reminds me of a future that looks like it could be very Derek Carr, where you're going to have a lot of stats by the end of the year, probably be an okay high-end quarterback too if he is the starter, but never really win you fantasy championships.
Okay, and he'll have surgery on the 22nd of February and hopefully be back within 3 to 6 months ready for training camp or competing for that job. For the rest of the quarterback class, I'm going to we're going to play a game.
Okay.
And here's what it's going to be. I want you to pretend that you're investing $100 in each of these players, like a stock. Okay?
Okay.
And then I want you to tell me what you think that $100 will be worth a year from today.
Okay? Yeah.
You in? All right. Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett did not make contributions that were fantasy relevant this past year. You put $100 in the Kenny Pickett stock, and then we're on this show next year, and that $100 is worth what?
$110.
$110.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. $110.
Yep.
I was going to say about 85.
So you think that would mean he's probably not going to be a starter?
No, I think in his
future.
I'm speaking only fantasy football wise. Like, I think that he can be an okay NFL starter. Went 6-2 over the final 8 starts. And it was only 1 year. We do have to remember Trevor Lawrence was terrible, but Trevor Lawrence was also terrible in a terrible situation. I mean, this was still Mike Tomlin and company in charge, and they went from, you know, the not high flying, but I should say heavy pass attempt past couple years of Big Ben back to a more run-centric offense while Kenny Pickett was the quarterback. He can improve. I think he can be an average starter, but I don't see a world where Kenny Pickett is ever – anything more than a streaming option.
So a bad investment or a low growth investment?
Low growth investment, yeah.
And never had a single game above 20 fantasy points. If I asked you about Desmond Ridder, Falcons quarterback.
Possible starter.
And I said, yeah, you put $100 in the Desmond Ridder bucket, and we come back on the show a year from now, that $100 is worth what?
$2.50. That is my belief.
$250.
Oh, man. $250.
About $250.
So not a full Enron, but not very far off.
Yeah, I can go get a Snickers. I mean, it's not nothing.
Mike?
But,
I mean, let's look through the game log here. Final week against Tampa Bay, 19 for 224 and 2. He was a top 12 quarterback.
I love the inflection in his voice.
You're at $250, Jay?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good. I mean, like, because you're already at the – if Desmond Ridder, you're already in super danger of being replaced this offseason. Yes, the owner, the NFL owner, Mr. Blank, is saying we're excited for Desmond Ridder. I think they'll also be really, really excited if they're on the clock and one of those quarterbacks happens to fall and then they just get – you know, then they draft him, and the Ritter is gone.
Kyle, as the resident Atlanta Falcons fan, do you have any reply or response to what the numbers being put out here?
250, that is mean. That's like
that's not a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he only started the final games, but
I think it'll be worth like $35.
I'd say like 55.
But on the way
55?
Out.
Okay. So you don't think he's getting replaced in the draft?
Not at pick 8. They need to move up.
The reason I say $2.50 is because I believe going into the 2024 season, he will not be a starting quarterback. So it's almost worthless.
And so Malik Willis is worth what?
Man, I'm just not a believer that he's going to ever be able to do it.
Would you rather have Willis or Ridder in a dynasty league?
For fantasy purposes,
I'd rather have Ridder.
I'd rather have Willis for the potential of
rushing. What was our guy's name? Who for the Titans? Who played that last week?
He got replaced in the final week.
Oh my gosh,
that's a good example.
Josh Dobbs.
Couldn't remember the name of the quarterback.
But the point being, Josh Dobbs not on the team.
Yeah,
they bring him in to fight for a playoff.
I'm on the Ridder side,
and they're like I think we've seen. Malik could get better, but it just I That seems pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Okay.
All right, we'll take a quick break, come back with the running backs. Much more exciting position to talk about.
You can't yet because...
You want to talk about Sam Howell?
$500 return. We're going to the moon like Dogecoin here with Sam Howell.
That's what you believe?
No.
But it's fun to say
what I want to happen.
Yes.
I do think that Sam Howell
will he start game week one? Percentage chance he starts week one for the Commanders.
Percentage chance I would put at 40%.
I think it's pretty high.
I'd go 50%.
I think that's a pretty high number. If he starts, I believe he will have more success than Desmond Ridder, more success than Matt Corral.
And if he has success, what kind of sounds would you make?
Okay.
All right. Are we allowed to move on now?
Yes.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Time to talk about the running back position. There were three running backs that fit the bill in terms of having that we classified as good.
Yeah.
They made contributions significantly to the fantasy football world. The first one that we'll talk about is Breece Lightning.
Yeah, baby.
Breece Hall, who was really, really good through week 7 before the ACL and meniscus injury, missed the final 10 weeks of the year, will be undergoing, recovering from that injury throughout the off season. You know, our injury expert, Matthew Betts, he talked about the kind of future he sees for Breece. And, you know, we kind of said he was more bullish on him in 2024 than 2023, this upcoming year. Cause you're recovering from a serious injury. And I think there's question one, which is how recovered are you? And then there's question two, which is like, no matter how recovered you are, how does the team treat that? Does the team handle that with kid gloves? Do you have other options? Do you not? And, you know, this is the team in New York that seems at the tippy top of the list for Aaron Rodgers and or Derek Carr. There's a lot of talk about Carr being the backup if they can't get Rodgers in terms of an option this offseason, and they view him as a massive upgrade on Zach Wilson, which of course he is. So Breece Hall off the injury. You know, while he played, he was 86% of the time he was considered good by our metrics, 14% great, 14% bust. It was, by all accounts, a successful debut. Fourth most consistent running back. Just the injury. That's all it was. He averaged 5.8 yards per carry. The identity of the team was going to be Breece Hall.
You couldn't have asked for anything more out of Breece Hall. The 7 games he played, just unbelievable. He was fantastic. Like you said, he was our consistency true score number 4 running back. He was as good as it gets in his rookie year. Obviously, the question is, how will he come back from the ACL injury? Last episode, we were on a mailbag talking about, like, who, are you all in for? And I'm saying I don't care about the ACL injury. I think he comes back strong. After that, Mr. Matthew Betts had words for me.
Ooh. Okay,
so we went back and forth.
The teacher said, see me after class?
Yes, teacher said, see me after class. We went back and forth. I did a bunch of more research on this specific injury in conjunction with a great article that Betts wrote, The Impact of ACL Surgeries on Fantasy Performance for Running Backs. It's exactly what you want. And what he found in his data, which is very compelling, is that year one, they are less efficient than they were prior to the injury. Year two, they are fine and great. And we've seen this a lot. The most similar injury to Breece Hall is Saquon Barkley. He had the same exact thing where it was an ACL plus a meniscus. No other knee damage, but not just the ACL by itself. We saw Saquon come back last season, the season before this one that just finished, and he was disappointing. And then he was awesome in year two this past season. So I think that
he was kind of on his way. It's like the Saquon Barkley year, you always want to find a comp, so I don't blame you. It's difficult to gauge what he was doing because the first 2 weeks were rough, and then weeks 3 and 4 of that season, running back 10, running back 3,
and then the ankle injury,
and the season just derailed from there.
Still
low efficiency in those four games, though, as it to speak to Betts and Jason's point.
Yep, and to be fair to what Saquon went through, he got injured the year prior in week 2 versus week 7, so a little bit more time for recovery. That being said, if you look at the entire list of running backs who have had the ACL and then are coming back, there are only a few of these guys that are actually young, highly drafted prospects. Jamaal Charles had it happen, his first ACL. Todd Gurley had one in college. You have a few. Dalvin Cook had one very, very early on.
Right.
And those players who were exceptionally young
did very well.
They did very well in year one. 1,700 yards for Jamaal Charles after his ACL. So I am in on Breece Hall year one removed. But he'll be even better year two.
Yeah, I guess that is such an interesting dilemma because for somebody who I think might be in love with Breece Hall. That would be you. I am curious.
Take lock.
I am curious what you'll be able to pass on or whether you'll be able to pass on him for somebody in this first year removed from the ACL. Like, I'm wondering if you're in the draft and you're staring down the Josh Jacobs situation or ETN. Like, is Breece just going to surpass that category of running back? I mean, I know we don't know everything, but it's fun to ask the questions this early.
Yeah, it's certainly fun. I mean, I was in a draft recently that's already going. I took Breece
Hall. Or Kenneth Walker, who we're about to talk about.
Kenneth Walker was off the board, but I did take Breece Hall at the 2-3 turn ahead of ETN, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, Pollard. So I put my money where my mouth was.
Well, and a lot of folks are doing that. The RB8 off the board right now in best ball drafts. Kenneth Walker, second round draft pick, played 15 games, 228 for over 1,009. Really took off in week 5, 47% good, 13% great, 27% bust. Thoughts on Kenneth Walker? He was a big contributor for fantasy players.
He will be interesting because, like, he's a fantastic running back. He is a home run running back which Saquon's kind of in that as well, where you're basically getting 0 to -negative yards or you're getting a huge run. And that kind of happened pretty frequently throughout his rookie season. That didn't stop him from being great for fantasy purposes. Like you said, he took over essentially in week 5. That's when the Rashad Penny injury happened, I believe, and ended up as running back 16 still at the end of the season. We had hoped that he would catch more passes, and like that's the difference between Walker and Breece is we already know that the Jets are willing to heavily feature Breece Hall in the passing game. Should Zach Wilson not be the quarterback? But the identity of the Seahawks, it's almost like, did they find another Marshawn Lynch type where they can go back, grind it out, and then hit the big plays over the top to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So I like him a lot, but he will certainly come with a more risk than some of those other guys because he doesn't have he's not catching 50 passes. That's probably
17 15-plus yard runs. Third most among running backs.
Whatever his numbers are on the gaining like 0 yards, I think he's near the bottom of that list too.
Is that a team, Jason, in Seattle where you think there will be a tremendous amount of stability compared of what we saw last year? It seems that way on the surface. Like, we expect Geno to potentially be back. Same wide receiver room. They drafted so well last year. Seems like they may be more predictable than some of these other scenarios.
I certainly think so. I mean, a curveball could be thrown here where, you know, they surprisingly draft, you know, a quarterback that falls to them that they're in love with. But it does appear at first glance as of this moment that Geno will be the guy. They had two outstanding rookies on the offensive line who should be better next year. Kenneth Walker is a really, really solid running back whose future looks bright. My biggest question mark is, will they re-sign Rashad Penny? That's it.
Sure.
Damian Pierce, fourth-round pick, 46% good games, 8% great, 23% bust. Didn't play after week 14, but it was a pretty good ride. It was high volume. I
mean, it worked.
Yeah, it was high volume, 220 carries in the first 14 weeks, 39 targets, four touchdowns on the ground, just under 1,000 yards, missed the time with the ankle sprain. Was eased in the beginning of the year, but Damian Pierce had a very important role. He got a new head coach over there. He's been one of the more difficult players for me to think about for the upcoming year, just because of the draft capital. Could they look for a compliment? Are you in on Damian Pierce after this rookie year and the breakout?
I would say I'm in from the talent perspective. After everything that happened in that off season of the meteoric rise of Damian Pierce in the average draft position from like, oh, hey, you can get a screaming value right now on Damian Pierce. It looks like he might end up the starter to people sort of seeing him. And then where did he end up at, like the fourth round or something? It was, which he quickly got to a place where this is a very, very risky draft pick. And it worked. I mean, looking at what he did, even missing a month of the season, he paid off. What you're hoping is that the Texans are smart in their rebuilding. I mean, they're at the very bottom with the Arizona Cardinals. They need to add a lot of different positions to this team. Hopefully they don't do something stupid like adding a day three running back. They shouldn't. I don't think they will, but it is definitely a concern if Damian Pierce is sitting there on your dynasty squad.
This is healthy year two James Robinson. This is a player who...
Not as extreme, but I get what you're saying.
How is it?
Because Damian Pierce, Pierce was drafted.
Sure,
Robinson
but
was completely undrafted.
I'm just saying it's a situation where you've got a rookie who comes in who is so talented, the team has so many needs, and they really should not bring in another running back. Because they should just go forward. And so Damian Pierce, to me, if they don't bring in another running back, Damian Pierce, I will draft him happily. I think the offense should be better next season, and he'll return and be a great running back. But because they didn't invest a lot into him and they have a lot of capital, I'm not positive that they won't look to replace him, even though I think most people would look at this situation and say, your running back's good. You got a lot of holes. Fill other places.
Well, and it could be a veteran signing, too. It could be something like that because he was injured. He did miss the end of the year.
You do probably, though, have a rookie quarterback. So not that Davis Mills and company were setting the world on fire, but they're at least experienced quarterbacks that make plays here or there.
The rookie might be better.
It could
be what they got last year.
Oh, it could be. Or you could have put Kenny Pickett's rookie year onto that team, and that would not work out very well for Mr. Pierce.
There were five other rookie running backs that fit that kind of okay, some fantasy impact category. Second rounder was James Cook, two third rounders in Rashad White and Brian Robinson Jr., and then you had a fifth rounder in Tyler Allgeier and seventh rounder who looks like he has a bright future.
Pitter-patter, pitter-patter.
In Isaiah Pacheco. Yeah, do we have that? Can you find me the Isaiah Pacheco drop? It's very important to me. Thank you.
That's
That's all the way to the Super Bowl.
I say that's him on the parade.
That guy runs hard.
Yeah.
He runs really, really hard. I think he has a very bright future. Like, if you are looking at those five, who do you think will take the biggest step forward next year? And I'm speaking, of course, about fantasy production, you know?
Sure.
Being more reliable, that would be in that good category, not the okay category.
I mean, Pacheco, it's probably Pacheco, if you're putting the odds on it, because he didn't have the opportunity to be the guy at the beginning of the year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was having a, like, people forget it. I'm not saying that you need to remember this for your strategy next year, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire was dominating, just dominating for fantasy purposes to start the year, scoring boatloads of touchdowns, then gets hurt, seemingly lost his job. We don't know for sure because he was
forgot about the not being good at football part for 6 weeks before the getting hurt.
Sure, but I'm saying,
just reminding.
Yeah, people. Yeah. No. I said lost his job probably. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see in the Super Bowl him activated because that could have at least given us some type of glimpse what this version of the Chiefs would look like. Are they going to put him back into a rotation or not? So if Pacheco is the guy from the beginning, he has the most room to grow. But of these guys, all the arguments are the same for Tyler Allgeier that we gave for Dameon Pierce.
I agree completely. If he's alone there,
he could be replaced. But he was the dude. Like, if you got to watch any Falcons games at the end of the year, he was incredible. He was not a full time starter for the whole year, and yet he still had over 1,000 rushing yards. He's not going to catch a ton of passes. He can do it, but it's not likely how Arthur Smith is going to do it. But if they want to continue to establish things and Allgeier is the guy, he could grind it out to being just a real nasty, not a high ceiling guy, but just there's like a who's the guy from the Bengals I'm trying to think of?
P. Ryan?
No.
Olden days?
Yeah, the older days.
Wow.
Cedric Benson.
Bennett. Yeah, Benson. I was going to say Bennett. But,
I thought you were going Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
That type of running back as well, where it's just he's big enough that you can give him 250 plus carries. I've seen he got 210 this year, but he can absorb a lot of wear and tear and be a gross running back too for you.
I agree with everything you've said on Pacheco and Allgeier. Those are two good picks. If I had to say whose situation could change, like Allgeier could be replaced. We could see that very easily, or at least then bring in an additional, and now he's in a timeshare. The one guy that I think could go from a timeshare to being the dude would actually be Rashad White. Because Leonard Fournette, that's a contract they can get out of. And if they do, with Todd Bowles there, I still think they're going to be in the quarterback market as far as looking at Derek Carr, looking at Jimmy Garoppolo, trying to bring in some veteran where they can win now. And if they let Fournette go for cap reasons, then Rashad White could have a much better situation.
I genuinely see a clean path for all five of those names. Like, I see Allgeier and Pacheco, the arguments that you guys made.
Singletary's a free agent, right?
Singletary's a free agent, and James Cook was the highest draft capital of this group and looked good in spurts. You talked about Rashad White, and then Brian Robinson. Like, yep. Antonio Gibson could be cut. I mean, they can save $2.7 million in a final year of his deal.
Oh, that would be...
and Ron Rivera's on record saying, like, I want to run the ball twice as much as I pass it, which we might not enjoy, but Brian Robinson owners will. So... you know, those are the five names that could take a step forward. The
Antonio.
Not relevant names.
Oh, yeah.
I am curious who you're keeping your eyes on. There's a third round running back in Ty Davis Price.
Not him.
There's definitely not him.
Right.
Although his situation, now that I come to think of it, he's Eagles, right? So
No. Sermon.
That's Trey Sermon. Oh, my
God. That was
goodness.
Their other third
that
round.
That was their
guy.
Other third
Every
round.
Every year they have a third rounder that doesn't get relevant for the next year.
Right. But now with Christian McCaffrey there, I mean.
Goodbye.
Ty Davis could be the backup.
There's four fourth rounders. Zamir White, Isaiah Spiller, Pierre Strong, Hassan Haskins. If Josh Jacobs was to depart the Raiders, Zamir White would have an opportunity. Isaiah Spiller seems fixed back behind not just Eckler, but Josh Kelly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Pierre Strong, he had a moment in time, but it doesn't seem like he will ever be the guy. He will be one of the guys.
Haskins is maybe the most interesting to me because Hassan Haskins plays behind Derrick Henry, who's going to be older and should an injury happen again to him, Haskins could have an opportunity that surprises.
Did you see anything, though, in the Haskins game that made you – like, I didn't see anything that made me say, oh, man, this is the next man up.
Yeah, he just – I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of opportunity on the course of the season, right? He had one game where he played more than 20% of snaps. So I
– that would be the – that's what I'm talking about. Like, did you see anything that week where no. you were – when because they sat down Henry.
Yeah, I mean, 12 for 40, it was the Dallas Cowboys, and they were – Their defense was playing extremely well.
It was also
they played all backups pretty much.
It was also Malik Willis at quarterback.
Oh, I don't remember.
I'm fairly certain that was the case for that week.
I think that's a fair question to ask because it. Let's go. Week 17 was
that would have been
moved to Dobbs.
The guy that I already forgot his name. Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs.
Yes, thank you.
Fresh off of the Detroit practice squad.
You guys want to talk about some wideouts?
This is the year.
Okay. We've got some names. Garrett Wilson, 10th pick overall, 35% good, 47% bust, 18% great. He must have been terrible.
He was great when he was the only Wilson on the field.
Well said. Well said. Okay.
There's only room for one Wilson on this New York team.
Yeah, his splits with Flacco and White, 11 targets a game, 6 receptions a game.
14 fantasy points a game.
Yeah, and he, you know, I said it on the last
show. What was Zach doing? Just throw the ball to Garrett Wilson, man.
Well, it's the throwing the ball part that really slowed him down.
I'm just saying.
You say just throw the ball to him. More of a calculus thing for Zach.
Right. Because targets versus 11. Throw the ball. Just throw it at Garrett Wilson.
It's tough because when you snap the ball, a lot of times quarterbacks look to throw it, and a lot of times quarterbacks look to run backwards. And that's more what Zach Wilson was really enjoying doing.
Back into the right. Man. Back into the right.
Run. Throw the ball out of bounds. Play it safe.
Garrett Wilson had the most targets by a rookie wide receiver since Bolden. In 2003, he is the guy. You just need stability at the position, and you're going to get really, really good production. He finished at wide receiver 19 despite his Wilson issues.
Yeah, I mean, he's the dude. There's no fear. You got to find out who his quarterback is next year. If it is anyone half decent, Garrett Wilson, I'm a little terrified of how high he's going to be drafted. Like, he's probably going to be a top 10 drafted wide receiver next year.
Chris Olave was the 11th pick overall to the Saints. Through the first 9 weeks, you were getting to the point where you felt like you could start Olave every single week. You looked forward to, it. and then it kind of slowed down. I mean, he had no games that were in our great category, 40% good, 33% bust. But you saw it with your eyeballs. I mean, you knew that Chris Olave was the future of the position for the Saints early on, and this was a wide receiver room. You were worried about Landry and Michael Thomas and other options, and then all of a sudden it was just Olave.
And break down the numbers. So Garrett Wilson played 17 games, 147 targets, and his final line was 83 for 1,100 yards and 4 touchdowns. Chris Olave in 15 games, so we have 2 fewer games, 119 targets, so fewer on the targets, yet 72 for 1,042 and 4. I mean, statistically, just right behind Garrett Wilson, yet 2 fewer games and, 28 fewer targets or so.
You, for someone like myself who had him on your roster, what was frustrating in the second half is you didn't get any of the big plays. In the first half of the season, he was a big play magnet. It was Jameis Winston would take a shot down the field, and if you pull in one of those, your day is made in a way. So, in the second half of the year, it was much more difficult to count on him. The offense was really, really bad. But everything you saw on film, the ability to produce, you got enough of it from Olave, just like with Wilson, where you know the future is bright.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up to be like Olave and Garrett Wilson, they're right next to each other.
They both ahead of this next guy to you who, like, Christian Watson is a polarizing player. I think we all know he has tremendous talent. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers will be his quarterback. His stretch of elite play, it was this 4-game span where he scored, I think, 600 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then after that, and obviously before it, it wasn't, he was dealing with injuries before it, and you know, couldn't really get out of his own way. Couldn't get back on the field without re-injuring himself. Had some dud games in weeks 15, 16, 17. Those had to have hurt for fantasy players.
Well, remember, he got injured in week 16.
Yeah.
Only played 38% of the snaps. And then the following game was still dealing with that. So this really was a season where he was either injured or when you saw him on the field, he flashed. He showed elite speed, size speed freak. I mean, you just do a little crossing route or you know, run him like the first play of the season, just down on a nine route, and he will beat whoever is the defender there as far as in just a foot race. I feel like I'm going to be in on Christian Watson.
Let me sound one alarm on Christian Watson, only because we have a cast of characters he's a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie wide receivers with 7-plus receiving touchdowns on fewer than 45 receptions. Here are the names, because I think it's almost indicative of what kind of outlier type of touchdown numbers they are. Martavis Bryant, who, size, man, speed freak, right? Big play freak.
What could have been?
What could have been?
Gabe Davis, big play.
What could have been?
What could have been?
Jahan Dotson.
What could be? No,
what could be?
Yeah, what could be?
And Anthony Miller. What was?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can mention Romeo Doubs in this conversation, too. Very talented player. Definitely more of a possession receiver, I think, than what Watson is. I wonder if next year, if Rodgers is back, if we're looking at both those players saying, you know, what do you need to add to your fantasy roster? Do you need to add big playability? It's not that Doubs can't do that, but Watson had more than twice as many touchdowns. Or do you need more of the possession guy? Like, do you view the gap between those two as large?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Christian Watson by a lot.
Yeah, obviously, whether or not Aaron Rodgers is there is a gigantic facet in whether he can score enough touchdowns to be a hyper productive fantasy player,
or the next Deontay Johnson with some other quarterback.
Yeah, and I do put the odds very, very minute that Aaron Rodgers is back for the Packers. I would say it's, you know, 25% chance that he plays there, because if he comes out of his darkness retreat and decides he's not retiring, he wants to play, then...
What if he doesn't make it out?
Well, sure. So then he's not part of the Packers.
How does one find the door?
In absolute darkness?
Yeah. How
they find it within themselves.
How big is the lodge? How big is the room?
That's a good question. Because if it's too big, you will have trouble.
Do you want it bigger? Like, if it's pure dark, do you still want to be able to, you know, stretch out?
I think some calisthenics? I think you're right. I think the shaman turns the lights on at the end.
Oh.
My eyes! How does it make you feel as a Packer fan, Al, that Aaron Rodgers might have played his last snap? Like, is that what you believe?
I do, yeah. And I think
it's time.
Yeah.
It's also got to be what you want.
Do you have to then go on a darkness retreat to recover from, you know, to move on from this era?
I'm going to see the results from Aaron's, whether that does for him, and then I'll assess if I want to do that or not.
They got a first-round quarterback just chilling, waiting to go play.
And if they can get a couple number ones from Rodgers' end of his career, that's great.
That's fair. A couple other names here that were contributors. Drake London.
Oh, Drake London.
You still in love, Mike?
So, Drake London's season was...
29% good, 6% great, 53% bust.
Enough to know that he's going to be a dude in the NFL. Like, he is going to be a player. But the way that it unraveled of you drafted, and I'm sure many people had the experience that Kyle and myself had, where you drafted Drake London late, you have 3 weeks of... more of just like of fantasy relevance, and it's like, holy crap, we did it. We got this rookie receiver. He's ready to go. He's going to be a part of this part of my fantasy lineup. And then you just kept destroying you week after week after week after week until you finally bail on him, and then signs of life finally happen again at the end.
Are you just living the Kyle Pitts life in a different name?
Yes.
With Drake London,
he is the Kyle Pitts of, I want to say, the Falcons, but it doesn't work.
No.
Because Kyle Pitts is the Kyle Pitts of the Falcons.
You could say the Kyle Pitts of the wide receiver room.
That'll work. It's unbelievable to think he had the highest, you know, target share among all rookie wide receivers since 2014, and he is a dominant player. So you would assume that his fantasy finish would have been much better than it was, but you really can't discount 72 for 866 in a rookie season. That's still a very good rookie season.
Good. He looked good. He looked like a guy, as like Mike said. George Pickens, 47% bust, 35% good, 0% great. Definitely flashed often. Seventh most deep targets in the NFL. Average depth of target of 15.6, which was saying something for this team.
He makes highlight catches.
He made mistakes too. I mean, it was very up and down. You could never know when you could play him, but 800 yards as a rookie.
Sure.
Four touchdowns and probably a lot more opportunity in his future.
I really wish he showed more when Chase Claypool left. I was very disappointed. It looked like he was on his way to having a rookie breakout season. They ship off Claypool, and he doesn't really step up much. His numbers didn't change, and so now what you're hoping for is just – you know, a year or two step forward from him and a year or two step forward from the quarterback. Certainly showed enough that he can get it done. But I do believe his hype is a little overblown by highlights. You know what I mean? It's like if you go up and moss a dude and you get a little bit more pub, you're all over Twitter for that great play, you know, it seems better than what you saw in Drake London, where he's just trying to get a catchable ball and, you know, ho-hum. So I feel like Pickens will be probably overdrafted.
Go ahead, Mike.
Between Watson, Drake London, and George Pickens, who would you be trying to trade for in Dynasty right now?
Drake London. London is the man that I would try to trade for because I think his value, it's possible in certain leagues he has the least value. You could put these guys in any order in different leagues, but I do think he has the highest outcome as far as being a 150 target alpha wide receiver one for his team for many years.
And I think both of these next two names are targets as well. Jahan Dotson, who missed a good amount of time, still put up, you know, over 500 yards, seven touchdowns, looked the part. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver for the Commanders. And then Treylon Burks, who missed a lot of time with injury as well, but had 444 yards, a touchdown. He was targeted on 21% of his routes. The offense was a mess in Tennessee, and we don't know what that future's like either. I mean, both of these guys, Burks and Dotson, could have different quarterbacks throwing them the football than they saw last year.
This was a really good wide receiver draft class. I don't think anybody came out and disappointed. People came out and got injured. You know, Christian Watson, obviously Jameson Williams didn't play, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson, they missed time, and they weren't on the field as much as you want. But really, there wasn't – I don't feel like there was a player –
There were two that fit that category.
That were on there, and you saw him, and you're just like, man, he stinks. Sky Moore.
And then the other one would be David Bell, who never earned his way – who never really earned his way onto the field over the course of a year, but was never really hurt.
He was a little less hyped by the time that the final, you know, season started versus some of these other guys.
I agree. And Jalen Tolbert, too. I mean, that was somebody that we thought without Michael Gallup, you'd be is he going to – you know, those guys didn't earn their spots, but – you know, Jameson Williams, Wandale Robinson, those are two names that you need to pay attention to moving forward, along with Alec Pierce, I think, in Indianapolis.
And I am interested to see a name we probably didn't talk about at all this last year, John Metchie.
Sure.
A rookie who was drafted to the Houston Texans, unfortunately had cancer, missed this season. I have not heard an update, but he looked like a good player coming into the league, so hopefully he has a future.
Yeah, there's a couple other names. I think Khalil Shakir in Buffalo, fifth rounder. He kind of did everything that was asked of him. He just wasn't asked to do a lot. Tyquan Thornton had some flashes for New England. That they could be losing Jacoby Myers. Tyquan Thornton could have a bigger role next year.
Sure.
And that offense, you know, if they get their way, it might finally throw the football down the field a little bit. And Rashid Shaheed.
Sure.
Made some made some big plays for the Saints. And they could be losing, what, Thomas and Landry. So,
they already lost them.
They're already gone.
I mean, they were gone this whole year.
Rookie tight ends?
Not much.
Some fantasy impact from Dulcich and my boy, Chigakonkwo.
He looked great.
He's
your boy now.
I get that it's his boy because he had him as a start. He called him as a start of the week on the week that he broke out. So that was a very nice call.
That's fair.
But all three of us do really like him. He looked talented, and going forward, he's certainly a name to monitor.
Do I need to claim early my guy?
Yeah, for sure. Better put it on the board.
No, thank you. Okay. No, thank you. Now, Dulcich, I think, you know, stability with the offense in Denver, he's going to have a big role. I think we saw enough games where you said, this is a good rookie season, but it's a rookie tight end. Counting on him, can't do it. But I don't know. I think he has a future of fantasy relevance.
Then what about Trey McBride? Arizona Cardinals, first tight end drafted.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be a decent target monster at the tight end position for Arizona. Do you agree?
I do agree. Zach Ertz has a bad knee injury and a timeline where he might not be back to start the season. At the very end of the year, you finally had proof of life from Trey McBride, who was easily far and away the number one tight end in ADP as far as fantasy drafts going into the season for rookies. In the NFL draft, obviously, was taken first. He's a very talented guy who wasn't on the field much till the very end. Now it seems like they're going to need him. You could have Hopkins leave. You could have Ertz not ready. And Trey McBride, you know, at the end of your drafts, probably going undrafted next year, you could scoop him up and end up with, you know, a second-year breakout.
And then I'm going to mention some names that had big games at times this year, but I think it's scheme dependent. Like you get them in the right scheme. Jelani Woods in Indianapolis, physical force. Daniel Bellinger led the Giants in red zone targets.
He's
missed some time. Isaiah Likely was a great complement and even primary target at times when Mark Andrews was out. And I think that's the end of my list.
Cade Otton?
Eh.
What?
Was Brady there?
Okay. But second most routes run for a rookie tight end since 2013. Sixth most routes among all tight ends. That's not Tom Brady. That's the scheme. I think Cade Otton is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, most tight ends, and by most, I mean darn near all of them, are dependent upon their situation to have good games, and I don't view his situation as good. You know, it's like Dalton Schultz. We've talked about him. If he goes, takes a big contract somewhere else, whatever. Right now, he's with a quarterback that's throwing him the ball a lot, and he can have a lot of fantasy relevance. If Cade Otton, you know, has someone come in that's not a great quarterback, then I'm meh.
I think in general, there are categories of tight ends, right? There are those that are athletic enough to where you could foresee a great breakout in that category. Like Dulcich, to me, you saw super hyper-athletic plays, you know, Kittle breakaway runs, those type of things. Chigga Okonkwo was certainly in that category. Jelani Woods with the physical size. And then you have kind of, I would say, pass catchers, right? The Witten-esque.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where Otton and Bellinger, I think, fit in into that mix. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of what you're looking at tight end. And if you take a chance on one of these guys next year, what are you expecting? What are you hoping for?
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Yeah. I mean, 65 targets as a rookie.
But he, I mean, I don't want to take that away from him. It's just that Brady broke the like passing attempts record, right? Last year?
Yes.
So
he
it's
broke
like
his own record.
It's just one of those things where there's so much unknown there. I don't know if Cade Otton comes out and he catches 60 balls or 22. Like I just don't know what that system's going to look like. They missed Cameron Brate for the majority of the year, right? In Tampa.
Yeah, but there's no way he's back, is there?
I don't know, Mike. I don't know. You have more Otton confidence than Jason.
So Cameron Brate would be he's just under contract forever. He would be
I didn't know he's a free agent. So
it's he's a Cameron Brate $3 million dead cap if they cut him.
Okay.
So he'll probably be back.
All right. Well, we are going to be back as well next week on the Fantasy Footballers. That sounded like a tease to like a crime show.
Yeah.
That's it, though.
Find out who done it next week.
And a quick reminder from the top of the show, if you're still hanging around, we are hiring a social media specialist with digital marketing experience, thefantasyfootballers.com/careers. So, you know, go impress Jason.
Yeah, I'm hard to impress.
With his polo shirt. You must have got that from Brooks.
I did.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at @TheFFBallers.
Hey,
there, Foot Clan. Still listening? I'd like to take this brief moment to invite you to become a part of the world's greatest fantasy football community, the Foot Clan. By supporting the show at jointhefoot.com, you get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000-plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.